The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We said we wanted big tech to be regulated, but is it worth losing out on features and services? Maybe, maybe not. Well, I'm joined now by Adrian Weckler, technology editor with The Independent. Adrian, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, there is an issue here, and whether it's, the maybe, maybe not, you're going to tease out for us. What is happening in Britain, for example, compared to Europe and compared to the United States?
Well, Britain isn't subject to EU regulations. The latest EU laws that were brought in to try and discipline or tighten big tech, not to the same extent anyway. And whether that's a good or a bad thing is currently up for debate. But it has come into particularly sharp focus in the last week because Apple launched its iPhone 17. But one of its wow features for the iPhone 17 and the AirPods Pro 3 it won't be available in the EU because of the regulatory difference here compared to in Britain.
So what's the wow feature?
It's called live translation, and I'm not sure if you caught the videos of this, but basically if you put the new AirPods in using the new iPhone, you can talk to somebody in a different language. So if you're speaking Spanish and I'm speaking English, I will hear you in Spanish and you will hear me in English. Okay,
in real time. Instantaneously.
Instantaneously. It's a wow feature, okay? And it uses all sorts of engineering and technology and a little bit of artificial intelligence. Apple isn't the only one with this feature, but it has implemented it particularly well. Very impressive. But Apple won't be launching it in Ireland or the EU.
Now, you have seen the new iPhone 17 in action and the AirPods. I mean, is it truly instantaneous? I mean, is it, for example, if you're listening to translation from the European Parliament or from the United Nations or whatever, they allow the speaker to utter a phrase and then the translation comes through. Because if you're to translate, word by word, you might get a completely different sense of what the message is than if you translate a phrase.
More similar to the European Parliament or the UN than, absolute real time, as you suggest. So if I'm talking to you, I say a sentence, it'll wait till I finish the sentence and then it will translate it for you.
Okay, so it's slightly delayed.
It's still impressive.
But very impressive, yeah.
Yeah, it's now, very impressive.
There's another feature called iPhone mirroring, and that's not going to be available either. What is that?
So that's a really useful thing if you're working at home remotely. And let's say you have, say, a MacBook or an iMac, and you also have an iPhone. That would be quite a lot of people. You're working at your desk for 8 hours a day, and you're sick of, sometimes people will pick up their phone reflexively to check messages. They get sucked into this whole social media thing. Instead, what you can do is you can look at and use anything on your iPhone, on your MacBook or on your iMac. In other words, a symbol of the iPhone comes up on the screen of your computer, calls, messages, anything else, WhatsApps, anything else that you would normally do. It's called iPhone mirroring. Quite a useful feature. It's been in the UK and the US for a year, but Apple won't launch it in Ireland or the EU because they say there are too many compromises that they would have to give up to launch it here. In particular, it's a security and a privacy thing, they claim.
So will you explain how EU regulation inhibits the launch of these particular products?
Yeah, one particular thing. So there's an EU law called the Digital Markets Act. It was enacted a couple of years ago. It's been enforced for a little bit over a year. And it has a thing called interoperability. It was brought in to try and make big tech companies work with each other. So in other words, if you are one of the giant tech companies, like say Apple or Microsoft or Amazon, the theory is that you're what's called a gatekeeper. So you control the access to utilities like messaging and communications and other things that a lot of us rely on. So you're one of an elite bunch of companies who controls that. So in order for those companies not to have, a monopoly or a duopoly or to carve up the market, this EU law, the Digital Markets Act, says that they must, when they're introducing features, make them available to other tech companies, okay? It's quite a good idea. Apple's problem with that is that it says that the law is too vague. And when it's, say, introducing something like iPhone mirroring, for example, it says that the law requires it to hand over all sorts of information about things like, you know, messaging and Wi-Fi networks and personal information to companies like Meta. So to put meat on these bones, we've talked about iPhone mirroring, an iPhone on your screen. Under the DMA's interoperability rule, this new EU law, Meta would have the right, Facebook, Instagram, that we're always complaining about for hoovering up our personal data. It has the right to request all of that technical information so that it can use that service or system for its own purposes. Maybe that's ads, maybe that's something else. Mm. Apple says it won't make that compromise for privacy and security reasons, and there's a standoff.
You'd imagine that the patents would protect stuff like this, which is their own bespoke software to do these jobs. And, for example, if you've got a new drug you develop, you get protection by your patent for years before it becomes generic.
It's a very hot issue that, and has been for many years. So software patents in particular have been a much disputed issue. But they're not completely the same as pharmaceutical or drug discovery patents. At a certain point, IT software technology is considered to enter a roughly generic realm. Like you can't, for example, you know, patent a text message, for example. You can't patent that system just because you were the first to come up with it. So in short, no, they can't rely on patents.
So where do we go to from here? Because there would be some in Europe who'd probably suspect what Apple are doing is they're using these features as a kind of a Trojan horse. You can't have them unless you change your laws, which we don't like anyway and have never liked.
Yeah, it's a standoff. So a couple of days ago, Apple called for the repeal of the Digital Markets Act. That's not going to happen. And they said, failing that, there should be changes to how it is policed and it's enforced. They say it's too vague. The European Commission, for its part, has come back and said, look, we know that you don't like this law, but, you know, tough luck. I mean, you know, we introduce laws all the time and not every company likes it. And this is, if you want to do business in our market, this is the way you're going to have to play. Now, what Apple's response to that is, that's fine, but we're not going to be launching new services and new features. And that list of services and features is going to get longer and longer and longer. You know, maybe they won't launch a future iPhone model or something in the EU. So that's the direction it's going at the moment. If you were to ask me what I think is going to happen, I think there is going to be some compromise from the European Commission on this. Mario Draghi, as you'll remember, former European Central Bank president, had this blockbuster report a year ago saying that there was way too much regulation in the EU. It was strangling innovation, it was strangling businesses. I've spoken to lots of Irish tech entrepreneurs, one AI entrepreneur in particular, who said he had to launch his AI startup outside Ireland, even though he's running it from inside Ireland, because he was afraid of EU regulation. So there is an issue there. The question is, where is the balance of what we as a society think is the right way to go? Like, should we have maximal regulation and very strict interpretation of that? Or should we allow a bit of breathing space for companies? And what are the risks with that?
Well, we know even when we have regulation and we try to prevent nasty stuff getting into social media, it doesn't work. I mean, it takes forever to get stuff taken down that is offensive or even against the law. So they don't even obey the rules that are there.
That's an excellent point, and it's one that the European Commission would make, and a lot of people who think that big tech companies have had too easy a ride will make. It's quite a difficult situation. You have the Americans on one hand coming over, J.D. Vance, president, coming over to Europe and lecturing Europeans on freedom of speech. In other words, don't touch our tech companies and don't pass laws that would moderate hate speech on our tech companies. While on the other hand, the minute something is said over in the US that they don't like in relation to their own conservative base, and I'm thinking in particular of the very heated climate and fraught climate after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, there was an immediate clampdown on speech. And
people got fired for posting stuff online. Allegedly in breach of What? Because the First Amendment gives everyone the right to free speech.
Absolutely. So freedom of speech is sacrosanct until someone says something you don't like. I mean, that's a human reaction. That's a human reality. So, but in terms of regulating companies here, I don't think there's going to be a rollback on the Digital Markets Act. I don't think the Europeans are going to back off completely, but I do think there's going to be growing tension because there is a real issue, a genuine issue about about European growth versus US growth as well. That is a genuine issue. It can't really be sort of shrugged away. And I think there probably will be some compromise in Europe on allowing companies a little more breathing room.
Now, some of the texts coming in, maybe they're a bit confusing to me. If you buy a phone direct from the US, will it work over here, is the question.
So it depends. Mostly it will. Mostly it will. Now, don't forget, if you're talking about an iPhone, all iPhones in America are eSIM only. They don't make iPhones in the US with your plastic SIM card anymore, which means that if you're bringing one over here, you'll have to try and get an eSIM. Now, most operators over here do offer eSIM services now. But in general, yes, phones that are bought in the US will
work. So these features will work here? If it's an American?
No. I see where that question was going. Yeah. So the key thing there is, where do you have your iCloud account, your Apple account? If it's registered in the US, if you have an American iCloud account, it will work. If you have a British iCloud account, or if you live in Belfast or Newry and you've got an iCloud account there, it will work. If your Apple iCloud account is registered in Dublin or Paris or Berlin, it will not work.
Okay. Apple phone features in the EU. As usual, the latest Apple Wow feature, in this case Live Translate, has been on Android devices for many years already. I have iPhone mirroring. I'm in Ireland. It's actually a bit intrusive and not really useful for any reason, says Dan in Cork. And another one, Android and Chromebooks have been able to do that screen mirroring for ages. So how Wow is Wow?
Well, the general answer to that is, I mean, I've used Live Translation, for example, on Samsung phones, and it doesn't work very well, I have to say. It's very glitchy. The translation quality isn't great. What's true to say here is that an awful lot of features that Apple introduces have been seen before on Android phones. It's just that they may not have been done very well before. That's the case with Live Translation anyway. Now, it works the other way around as well. Sometimes Apple brings in features that Android copies. I was just at a Xiaomi event, Xiaomi's biggest Chinese phone maker. They have just introduced on their new phone a thing that they call, I think they call it a Hyper Island, a little feature at the top of the phone. Apple has had that for 2 or 3 years. Xiaomi is calling it a Wow feature. So it works both ways.
Adrian Weckler, who's technology editor with The Independent, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.